This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 12th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Self-Determinism in Relation to a Thetan. This tape is 32 minutes long, reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape has periodic sound distortions and ends abruptly, as did the original master recording.
This is the November 12th afternoon lecture. This afternoon, let's go on a slight scout over of some of this material. I'm just giving you a student information bulletin. The command of the auditor should include always creative process and gradient scales and the use of in this. I've knocked apart more of this is and that is in cases with gradient scale creative processing not as a final result but as an immediate present time inability which in itself was sufficiently graced to inhibit processing. Here we have a free clear. He comes in, he's all upset. Okay, what's he upset about? Well, we don't know what he's upset about. We find out what the state of case is, and we find something he can't do. Suddenly and inexplicably cannot do this one thing. Markedly. So we do it on a gradient scale. We do it with creative processing. This is very important. If an auditor's imagination is ever going to be displayed, it will be displayed with creative processing. Where creative processing fails, the auditor has been unable to use the process. That's all. He hasn't started light enough or easy enough and come up a scale. And it's not an arithmetical, it's a geometric progression. Let's give you an example. We find that this person cannot move a ball from in front of him to the wall. But we find, oddly enough, that when we put a ball on the wall, it flies to in front of him. Well, how are we going to solve this? It's something to be solved. It's sitting right there. More locks will fly off and let go and snap and bang and he'll feel better. If we start this up. So what do? We have him exaggerate the ability. And we take over control of this automaticity by exaggerating the amount of trouble required to take it over. We take this ball and we, as it flies to the center, we just turn a fire hose. We take the curse off the flow simply by taking a fire hose, have him stick a fire hose through the wall and have it fly madly to in front of him, thereby putting enough balls immediately in front of him to damp out the flow itself. See, because his idea of this flow is strictly terrific. So after we fire hosed a few balls across there, then we take one ball and one ball come out of the fire hose, and then we banish the fire hose, and we have one ball fly over. Well, this makes him feel like he's done something. He just got through seeing billions of them, you see. This is what you know is handling the mind directly, creative processing. Creative processing isn't just a step six and a starvation of energy and that sort of thing. It's a very, very high-level process. And it belongs in step six. All markups. But anyway, we take one ball, and then we have him get a building jack and have him nail that in place, and we put that on underneath the ball, which is to say between the ball and the wall, and then we get a chain hoist, and we carefully, by working the jack one jump and the chain hoist one yank, we get the chain hoist from in front of him to the ball. You see, and we get all this rigged up, and we just get that ball over to in front of him. The heck of a no. After we've done that a few times, we find out then that he can put a ball there and it will move over in front of him. But if he can't do that at an immediate jump, you have it fall over 1 inch at a time, and then a foot at a time, and then a couple of feet at a time. You know, like, well, move it 2 inches toward the center, 3 inches toward the center, 5 inches, halfway, three quarters, and there. See, geometric progression. Over it goes. Well, we've solved this. You keep telling you about strange things, about locks and facsimiles and so forth, and you'll finally come to some present life lock that he suddenly remembers that, strangely enough, he sure should have remembered. But he just doesn't remember that. This is the hidden picture, and you're up against a hidden symbol, which in itself builds an automatic machine. What do you think a facsimile does? Whole collections of facsimiles after they've been running out of one of these facsimile machines for a long time. Well, boy, they do something awful simple. They just make their own machines. Therefore, all of experience becomes a machine. See, so the use of a facsimile machine is to make machines of facsimiles. So a fellow goes through life, all these things are keyed in one way or the other, and they make him do things, and it's experience, and he keeps them around this way, and that starts out self-determined, winds up the other way. Yeah, and Lenny automaticity, by making the pre-clear, do it better and then do it with a great deal of trouble. Make him do it himself. You say, now is there any person in this room? You know, you and the audience. You say, yes, there's you, me. You say, now is there a person in this room besides you and me? Well, what? Well, there's that demon sitting over there in the middle of the room. I didn't mean anything personal by that one. there's that demon sitting over there in the middle of the room. And I've neglected to tell you about it because, of course, that's silly. And I know he isn't really real. So what? Well, what do you do? Well, he gives me orders. Well, that's some kind of machine. Very often they will turn the assumption into an automatic machine. Of course, they keep the assumption machine around because it's the thing which enables them to snatch babies. And they keep that around, and after a while they get it for randomity, and then they say, well, it's a machine, and it tells me what to do, or all kinds of weird things. So, and by the way, facsimiles will peel off one of these mess bodies just an endless stream basis, because it's practically made out of nothing else. All right, yeah, if you just look over the old axioms, car effort, tag, and then built on the car effort. It's a very interesting system of building. It's a system of impacts. The body is made out of a system of impacts. But there is a natural blueprint to the thing already, and then it's modified by this system of impacts. What aesthetic goes into the body? What aesthetic goes into the body is actually injected there by the Thetan himself. They've probably been working a long time making these bodies prettier, and then they got tired of doing that. But I'm, by the way, having a hard time talking to you this afternoon. Because not that my mind is far away, but speaking of aesthetics reminds me of it. I turned on a couple of terrific aesthetics, and I got one of these moods. You know, like you used to pick up once in a while when you were a little kid or something like that, and in school, it's very easy for a Thetan to get that sort of thing. It isn't turned on because one had an experience in school, but he just happens to think about it or something like that, and he fills up, I was just a few minutes ago, I was filling up Camden and the surrounding area with a little livelier atmosphere, a little more cheerful, sweeter atmosphere, a little more exhilarative. I overdid it. Now I have a feeling I could go out and take a look at it. All set to surprise myself. Anyway, the gradient scale of not-there-ness is what you immediately inherit from creating processing on orienting straight wire. And if you don't know gradient scales on this, oh boy, you just never get anybody in. I just had pre-clear. It's morning. I told you that case was in pretty good shape. All one thing wrong with that case. That case thought all over the universe. That was what was left to solve on this case. We trace this back. We want to trace this back to a mysticism which talks about an indwelling God mind. And it runs something like this. Oh, indwelling God mind, we worship thee, our Father, who doeth all the work. Thereby robbing the person of all his effort at one swoop fell. So anyway, somebody a little while ago at lunch, he was feeling very cocky and so forth, and I looked around and found a couple of his facts. You must never tell a pre-clear this, as you can see his facts somewhere. They get real upset. I've seen some of them practically get as frothy as a hydrophobic skunk over this. Yeah, but anyway, he had a couple of facsimiles there sitting around and so on, so I just started duplicating them. So I duplicated them about three times as solid as the original. All of a sudden he looks up from eating and he shuddered and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, could I be doing anything?" And he said, "Why?" "I don't know," he said, "it's something awful funny with my stomach." And so we went on eating dinner. And nurse came by. Isn't that interesting? I still got the facsimile hooked up. A girl in white came by, so I hooked her to one of these facsimiles, which had, was a nurse in his tonsillectomy. So it's a double terminal tonsillectomy, pardon me, say a match terminal tonsillectomy into the restaurant. She got to looking awfully pale, too. Well, I decided he should lose out on that, so I hooked his tonsils to it. And he did about one more swallow and no more food. I need a weekend. I need a vacation. Yeah. So all these blew up, and then everybody was happy. He sat there and frowned and frowned and frowned at me. And he was so discombobulated that he didn't realize he was trying to put a beam in my direction through his messed body and at me through his messed eyes. So his eyes got all sore. Oh, well, it was a nice lunch. Anyway, let me tell you, I'll just get off of this unserious vein here and let's get real serious. And let me tell you about how you use gradient scale straight wire. The essence of orienting straight wire has to do with gradient scale. Anytime you forget it, orienting straight wire is going to suddenly fall out from underneath you. It's not going to work. The reason why is they have an idea, like they ought to do a little bit, see if it's safe, see, and then if you can do a little bit more. Well, if they find out it's safe, then they're willing to control it rather than otherwise. You're just teaching somebody to control something, that's all. And you're working directly with the mind. So, if it's safe, why, you'll be all right. But they invert on this. And I think the reason the first bad facsimile was picked up on the track was so the pre-clair, who was by that time buttered all over the universe on one of the earlier inversions, we're at about, I said there were 10 gradients on that line between A and B, and we're at about 13. The 13th inversion sequence. Anyway, we look over the track, and we find out the first time he picked up a bad facsimile was probably to discover some place where he couldn't be. This is the best trick. This is a rough trick, see, trying to find out some place where you couldn't be in order to get himself sufficiently located and centralized and nicely and balanced so that he could be in something else. So he naturally then starts pushing against finding out places that would be undesirable to be so he can spring back from them. And this orients him. Now, this is about the silliest method you could think of, but it's evidently the pattern that's been followed. Now, it's a much, much better place to be just by being where one is, rather than to have to be driven back by something else. I think the first ugly facsimile a fellow picked up was just so there'd be a place in his bank he could spring back from and say, I'm not there. So he's going around, he's saying, where am I? Where am I? Well, I'm all over. Well, I'm not there. And that was a certainty. And then he gets some more ugly places, and he'd say, I'm not there, I'm not there, and I'm not there. And this oriented him very well. And then he could balance himself out and square himself around. Well, the first time he needed an anchor point in order to know, why, he immediately fell heir to this system of not there. So he had to have bad places on the track. You can almost tell the point on the inversions a person is by knowing how many bad places they have to keep around, talk about, see, and be in. See, because these are places they spring back from. That place, it just isn't very pretty. It's only about twice as good as anything made in Technicolor three-dimension these days. Twice as good as the most beautiful scene that's been made in Hollywood in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's not very pretty, so I'm not there. I mean, the atmosphere is really gaudy. Things are really gaudied up. So he didn't want to be there.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
So you see, Starl started out with the art critic. And this was the way he centralized himself. He could tell this place because it wasn't pretty. Now, after a while, he gets down to a point where he's packing all sorts of N-theta and bum stuff and so forth to drive himself back, see? So I'm not there, I'm not there, I'm not there, I'm not there, I'm not there. And he finally gets himself centralized on an I'm not there basis. And then all this, of course, caves in on him, so he's not there, up closer and closer. And then he's in all these bad places simultaneously. Well, these are not very bad places. They're slow motion like space opera or something like that, see? And he's buttered all over the map of this, and now he starts in for places that are worse than space opera. And he says, well, I'm not there, and I'm not there, and I'm not there. And this drives him back into a unit again. Well, pretty soon he's back at a unit again, and he's being very pleasant and gentlemanly about everything until all of a sudden he starts running and I'm not there, I'm not there, on these bad things he's already picked up, and that bank caves in on him, and again he butters all over the universe again, but through these bad places. Now he's got to find even worse places, and so eventually he comes to Earth. Well... And here he starts running out of places not to be in. The problem is places not to be in rather than problem of places to be in to a being who can be any place he wants to be simply by being there. So in order to introduce randomity, you have to have places not to be in. And that's the first rule of randomity, is when you want randomity, just have some places not to be in. So you go on this dwindling spiral. Things have to get worse and worse. They don't get better and better. Now, you've had the experience of yanking a pre-clear up, giving him a nice session, squaring him around, and he walks off down the street, suddenly realizes he's better off, keys everything in, you get him the next session, he's worse off than ever. Why? When a person is doing this, he's having a hard time localizing himself, and he's actually going into this kind of a system once more. He's just dramatizing the system all over again. He's getting a bunch of not-there-nesses, and he's keyed himself in because he's afraid that he's going to lose his randomity. That'd be a rough deal. So he just finds a lot of bad places real quick. So he can say, I'm not there. Well, now, by that time, at the time he becomes a pre-clear, he's in such foul shape that he kicks back only away from very horrible places, and he'll hit 4 or 5 places that'll simply cave in on him. You know, he's there too. Before he hits one bad enough not to be in. If he finds himself, quote, going up tone scale, in other words, he quickly yanks himself back down tone scale. He has to do this in order to stay located. His main problem is to stay located, and the central reason for that is he depends on other anchor points, though, of others' creation than his own in order to locate him. And he's depending on facsimiles in order to do this, but they're not in the messed universe. In other words, he's doing a fairly early track operation very late on the track. You'll notice these boys doing this every once in a while. It's fabulous. You no more and get them located, and they cave everything in on themselves again. They locate them once more, and they cave everything in again. You tell me that Mrs. Kelly is calling on a screaming fit or something. Like that. Boy, she was well-oriented a very short time ago. This is a system which she's following. This is why people go into mysticism. They want to know about these, all these horrible places they mustn't be. And after a while, well, they can't be in them, and then the next thing you know, they're in all of them. See? They consider themselves forceful or powerful or using energy or something of the sort, and yet they're depending upon other things than those of their own creation in which to anchor point themselves around. This room, for instance, the anchor points in this room, that sort of thing. They're depended on utterly, but so far back on the track was mess depended on exclusively for an anchor point, and so on, that it's rather refreshing to a pre-clear to simply pick up this dependence all over again. You can bring him up to a point where he will again depend on mess. That's quite high. That's quite high compared to Homo sap. That's why we have this holding the anchor points as an exercise. All right, so we find this pre-clear buttered all over the universe. Well, it's up to us to find something horrible enough so again he can't be in it, in order to break him out of all of these places. And we'll do this probably two or three or four or five times before we really get him settled. Only the next time we won't have to find a place so horrible. In other words, he just does a splash all over the place and then he pulls in again and so on. Well, we found this pre-clear this morning thinking all over the place. Where are you thinking? Where aren't you thinking? And are you thinking in this or that? Well, hell's bells singing in the center of the moon and the light meter on the floor and thinking on the other side of star 82, even though she didn't know where it was. And she was thinking every place. And then she wondered why she felt lost mentally. No orientation, see? All that's left of her is she couldn't develop effort or energy with God the Father doing all of the work, as the affirmations read. And so you have this kind of a situation. Well, you have to find some place you wouldn't be thinking in, in order to drive her down to a point so that she can move on out. It's like breathing or something. You see how it is? I mean, there's an expansion and contraction, expansion and contraction. And after a while, the guy says, all right, you saw him such and such a size and in such and such location, the universe my anchor points to. That's all right. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'll move a couple of them around. He gives a couple of them a swift kick and a couple of empires perish. Anyway, that's beside the point. They would just have fought about it or starved to death or something anyway. I mean. All right. Your pre-clear has to be corralled, rid herd on. You have to get out what you need is a pre-clear wrangler. And you do it on a gradient scale. Only in this case, you find the awfulest place you can think of at the moment from the pre-clear's point of view. You say, all right, you're real happy these days, so you state in your audit, and you say, all right, now let's see. Just the day before, you were going by someplace, and you noticed that the flowers weren't growing well, and you thought, and you said, be over in that flower bed, and they say, yep, right, that's fine. Now, be out of that flower bed, sure, sure. Now, are you in that flower bed? Sure, sure. You say, what's the matter with this person? The person's crazy, doesn't know evil, and has no sense of the vicious wickedness of things. Flowers aren't growing well. Obviously, it's an evil place, bad place to be. So you think for a while, and that would be the wrong answer. So you think for a while, and suddenly come up with something like, well, let's be in front of a television projector. They say, yep. You say, all right, move away from the television projector. Now you're in front of a television projector. They say, yep. Oh, you get discouraged about this time, so you go way down tone scale, and you say, well, be near a body somewhere. All right, now don't be near the body someplace. Now, are you there? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm there. You start getting discouraged about this time, because you just try to find an evil enough place to be near. So you say, well, all right, now, are you in a business office anywhere? Yep. Well, it'll exceed your imagination many times over to really get an evil enough place. So you pick out something like the Camden Sewer System, the State House, center of the sun, the middle of the Dark Horse Nebula, so on. And you'll finally hit something somewhere on the line where they aren't. Of course, You've made them fail too many times, it doesn't seem to matter on orienting straight wire. They tell you, yeah, sure, they're there, sure, they're there, sure, they're someplace else. Then you finally hit this place like the Camden sewer system. And, nope, they're not there. Or, lower on the scale, nope, they're not thinking in that. And well, you know, the whole rest of it just peels right straight on magazine, you know, you go up this and you get the bar, then you see them right there where they are. Okay. 3 feet back of your head. You collected them. Pre-clear wrangling. All right. Is gradient scales in orienting straight wire is undesirable places. Now, the handling of any automaticity is done simply by making the pre-clear do it himself. And he won't be able to do it very well the first time, so you do it on a gradient scale. Well, there are numbers of ways you can work a gradient scale to handle automaticity. One of them is to just make it so damned automatic it becomes ridiculous. In other words, it's pretty clear every time you tell him to get a mock-up of a fire hose, he gets the damnedest, biggest fire hose that rises all over the street and jumps over buildings and knocks people down and rushes all over the place and then says, boo at it. Well, you get one that rises all over the town and knocks all the people down in the country and ties itself around Earth four times. And every once in a while, one of these things will hold good because it's really wild. What he's trying to do in that case is restrain insane motions. He's trying to restrain insane motions on the part of mess to such a degree that you've got to get it much wilder before he can accept it. Now, simply by getting it tamer by gradient scale, you just constrict this more and more and more and more and more, and you feel like you're going to blow up. And that route, by the way, will work. But it is not the most desirable route. The desirable route, when you see something doing that, is just make it do it worse, then make, pardon me, then he does it for a while, and then he makes a machine that does it for a while. And you've got the automaticity pretty well licked. You get somebody building facsimiles. That's a test of this. Facsimile building machine. He says, oh, he gets these facsimiles and he gets stuck in these electronics and he does this and all, my. You get him stuck in 5 electronics, 8 electronics, 10 electronics, 15, 20, 45 electronics. Now I have them real worse. Now compound them into one bigger electronic. All right, now let's get a big machine making these. Okay, now let's have him make real good electronics and put a beam through your forehead and so forth. You can throw a beam through his forehead too, so the machine is convincing. And you keep... We'll keep winding him up by getting more and more and more. Finally, he says, to hell with it. Well, get one electronic. Now, wrap it around your face. I'll make it spark a little bit. I'll throw that aside. Okay. He, at length, why, he can pile up. He didn't care how many electronics he piles up. That's the way to get somebody over using electronics for energy. They do this. They go back at the bank and they pick these electronics up, you know. And they say, oh, boy, look at all this beautiful energy. Of course, this machine just sitting over on the other side of the left shoulder making this stuff. And they're furnishing all the power to the machine, which makes them feel rather dragged down. But here, the next thing you know, why, huge ball of fire starts coming in from over on the right side or up from underneath the feet, you know, this huge ball of fire. And you say, all right, now just let it land. If I do, it'll blow my feet off. No, don't do that. Let's put a couple more balls of fire down there, much worse. Oh, if I let that in, it'll blow my feet off. You say we'll put 6 or 8 more balls of fire down there so that they'll come in. It'll blow my legs off if I do that. And you say, okay. Put 12, 14 more great balls of fire down there. So it blows his legs off. Anyway, you'll swear to me, I have actually had a pre-clear writhing on the couch, covering his head up with pillows and everything else, hoping that the ball of fire, when it hit, wouldn't take half of his face off or something of this sort. And asking, well, if I get on the other side of the couch, he feels this big leather pad. See, if I get on the other side of the couch and hold my cheeky at that side of the couch, will you let me run it like that? All right, let's mock up 8 or 9 protective screens between... No, he says, I'm serious. He said, this is real, very serious. I mean, if that thing ever came in and exploded, he said, it'd just finish me and maybe you too. Well, you finally it comes in. It is. It's red hot. It knocks the E-meter around a little bit and occasionally burns an electrode or something. So what? Just a body. Anyway, here's the way to handle anything, then, that a preclear can handle. Gradient scale. And it is, you find out this girl has just had a baby delivered. Well, it's only 2 or 3 months since, you know. They still got this, real heavy, this facsimile, real fresh and big. Hasn't been drained down any, real hot. And you find out they can't get to the hospital. Not only could you not run chains of space on it or something of the sort, but they can't get to the hospital, period. And build a hospital, brick by brick. They can't build a hospital brick by brick. The second they see that they're building a hospital, they fall off of it, build a doll's hospital. Got a doll's hospital, build it brick by brick. All right, they got it built. And then you have them build a dog hospital. Then you build a cat hospital. And then you build something or other. And finally, all of a sudden, why, boom, bang, thud,